Let us pray.
God, you know us from the inside out. You understand our every thought and know our every emotion. Come now through the power of your Holy Spirit. Open our minds and our hearts through the inspiration of your word so that we may be transformed and move outwardly, sharing your good news with all people. Amen. So as you may imagine from this sermon series, I have a great admiration for storytellers. There's something magical about good storytelling that captures us and moves us into kind of a capsule, a judgment-free capsule that allows us to look at some realities without the weight of guilt and shame. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament are filled with stories and parables that were used to tell deep truths to people who were not really ready to hear them. In 2 Samuel 12, the prophet Nathan uses a wonderful parable to help David see the depth of his sin. In Judges, Jonathan, the son of Gideon, uses a parable to critique the actions of the people of Shechem. The prophets Isaiah and Ezekiel and Amos all use parables to condemn the actions of God's people when they strayed away. And throughout the New Testament, we hear Jesus using parables to teach people about heavenly realities. Parables are stories that draw us in, not just for understanding, but for accountability. And whether speaking about the sower, the good Samaritan, the persistent widow, or any one of a number of other stories, parables call us to pause and to examine ourselves, to examine our hearts and our minds, and most importantly, our feelings, which is the heart of today's theme. And I think that no modern company has done a better job telling stories than Pixar. They are an amazing company, and they are not paying me to say any of these words. Be assured of that. And their film today, the film that we are talking about today, is Inside Out, and it takes us into a journey in the mind of an 11-year-old. It's a dangerous thing. Like, we have one at home. And this 11-year-old named Riley begins to navigate some difficult situations, some life transitions. She is moving across the country, leaving friends behind, and trying to adjust to a new home, a new school, and a new life. But the real story unfolds not on the outside, but inside of Riley's head, where five emotions, as Joe mentioned, joy, sadness, fear, anger, and disgust work together in what they call the headquarters to help Riley make sense of life. So let's watch a short clip.
Just Riley and me, forever. For 33 seconds.
I'm sadness.
Oh, hello. I'm joy. So, can I just, if you could, I just want to fix that. Thanks. And that was just the beginning. Headquarters only got more crowded from there.
Very nice. Okay, looks like you got this. Very good. Oh, that's her turn. Oh, look out!
That's fear. He's really good at keeping Riley safe.
Easy, easy, huh? I'm back! Oh, we're good. We're good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And we're back.
Here we go. All right, open.
This looks new.
Think it's safe?
What is it? Okay, caution. There is a dangerous smell, people. Hold on, what is that?
This is disgust. She basically keeps Riley from being poisoned, physically and socially.
That is not brightly colored or shaped like a dinosaur. Hold on, guys. It's broccoli! Yucky! Well, just saved our lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're welcome.
Riley, if you don't eat your dinner, you're not gonna get any dessert.
Wait, did he just say we couldn't have dessert?
That's anger. He cares very deeply about things being fair.
So that's how you wanna play it, old man? No dessert? Oh, sure. We'll eat our dinner right after you eat this.
Right, here comes an airplane.
Oh, airplane. We got an airplane, everybody.
So throughout the movie, Joy tries to run the show, and she's determined to keep Riley happy no matter what. But as things begin to fall apart, Joy discovers that sadness isn't just a nuisance or obstacle. Sadness is essential. In fact, it's sadness that allows Riley to connect and to be honest about her pain and ultimately to be comforted. The brilliance of Inside Out is that it reminds us that what we often forget. That every emotion has a purpose, and that we are not wrong or broken for feeling deeply. Psalm 139, a song of God's intimate knowledge of us, is a reminder that even when our emotions feel messy or overwhelming, God is present with us. Whether we are joyful or angry or afraid or sorrowful, God knows our minds and our hearts and desires to have a deep relationship with us. God meets us not in spite of our emotions, but through them. From the very beginning of creation, the most challenging thing that humanity has had to face is the reality of self. And we see this challenge in the first question that God asked Adam. In Genesis 3, as the cool evening breeze blows through the garden, Adam and Eve hear some footsteps, and they knew it was God, and they hid from the Lord. So God asks a deep and powerful question. He says, "Where are you?" You may hear this and think, well, there is nothing that profound about that question. And in the context of the story, one could assume that God is simply asking about their physical location because indeed they were hiding. But based on Adam's answer to God, we see that the question cuts really deep. It calls for vulnerability and truthfulness and emotional honesty. The question was an invitation to stop hiding from God and from themselves. And as Adam admits, he said, "I was afraid, so I hid." Emotions are a complex and yet beautiful thing, but many of us have been taught, whether directly or indirectly, to hide our emotions, to shut them down, to pretend that we are fine. And as a result, we may not have learned that emotions are not our enemy. They are a gift, a part of what it means to be created in the image of God, to be individuals who are physical, spiritual, and emotional. If you ever been near a newborn baby, you've seen this truth. Babies cry out boldly, instinctively, without shame. They understand without words that their feelings are the key to having their needs met. They reach, they cry, they grasp, they connect. But as we grow, we often lose that sense of clarity. We are taught to hold things together, to tough it out, to not feel too much. But healing and truth come when we reclaim the God-given gift of our emotions. A few years ago, my spiritual director introduced me to the work of Dr. Chip Dodd, and you have a little insert in your bulletin from him. Chip is an author and counselor and seasoned voice in the field of emotional and spiritual recovery practicing in the Nashville area. And for more than 30 years, Chip has helped people navigate the terrain of the heart, so to speak. One of his most enduring gifts is the language he offers around what he calls the eight core feelings. Chip argues that there are eight feelings that we have, and only eight. And if you disagree with that, you have to argue with Chip. Okay? But he says the hurt, lonely, sadness, anger, fear, guilt, shame, and glad are the feelings that we have. And he relates them to almost like primary colors. There are only, I'm not an art person, there are three primary colors. I was going to say four. See, I don't know it. There are three primary colors that then create a whole rainbow of other colors. And he says the feelings are like that. These feelings work together to create everything else that we may express. These feelings, Chip writes, there are not problems to be fixed or to be avoided. They are tools for living. They are passwords, he says, that grant us access to the deeper truths within us and opens the door to connection. Connection with God, connection with others, and connection with our authentic selves. So he writes, feelings lead us to become aware of our needs. And needs awaken us to what we desire. Desire moves us to face longings for the life we all seek. Longings reveal the power of hope. And hope is the inextinguishable flame that makes us remember to have faith. He argues that each feeling carries a purpose. That sadness helps us to identify loss and move us towards comfort and eventual acceptance. Hurt tells us that we've been wounded and invites us to seek healing and restoration. Loneliness reveals our longings for connection and moves us towards being known by others and by God. Anger stirs our passion for justice and moves us to care deeply about what truly matters. Fear awakens us to danger and leads us to ask for help, which builds trust in others and in God. Guilt burdens us with the need to make amends and opens the door to reconciliation and freedom. Shame, when acknowledged honestly, brings humility and reminds us that we are all in need of God's grace. Gladness flows from living fully with all of our emotions and leads to joy, confidence, and wholehearted participation in life. These feelings aren't distractions from our life of discipleship. They are part of the pathway. They are how God leads us into relationship, into self-awareness and healing. And the Psalms are products of people who felt things very deeply. People who are in touch with their feelings and offer them to God with deep confidence. When Psalm 139 says, "You've searched me, Lord, and you know me even before a word is on my tongue. You know it completely." The psalmist is not just talking about our thoughts or our beliefs. The psalmist is talking about the whole of who we are, feelings and all. God knows our fears. God sees our sadness. God honors our anger, and God welcomes our gladness. So let's look back at Riley's story for a moment. Riley, this 11-year-old girl, didn't know how to name what she was feeling, what was happening inside of her, only that things didn't feel right. Her world was unraveling, a new city, a new school, a new house. Joy, the voice in her head kept trying to tell her to stay in control, to be positive, to keep smiling, to stay strong. But the more that voice pushed down the other feelings, the more distant and isolated Riley became, because she was no longer her full self. I wonder if you can relate to any of that. Have you ever been there trying to hold it all together on the outside while falling apart inside? Maybe trying to keep us smiling for the kids or for the co-workers or the neighbors or the spouse or friends, even while something inside you was aching, even as you were afraid or angry or just plain tired. We've been taught that some emotions are bad or are too much. We've been told to toughen up, to stay busy, to keep moving, and above all, to don't feel things too deeply. But when we do that, we don't just silence our pain. We also numb our capacity for connection, for comfort, and for healing. So I'll be honest, and I'll say that I wouldn't blame you for one bit if at some point through this series, and we still have a few weeks to go, you have the thought that with 66 books in the Bible, why are we talking about movies? It's a fair question. But sometimes the truth must come to us slant. Emily Dickinson once wrote, "Tell all the truth, but tell it slant. Success in circuit lies. Too bright for our infirm delight. The truth's superb surprise. The truth must dazzle gradually, or every man be blind." In other words, sometimes we can't receive the truth head on. It's too much, it's too raw, it's too bright, it's too confronting. So we need stories, parables, poems, and films to tell us this land. Movies like Inside Out speak to us in ways that disarm our defenses and allow us to see a truth that we may not be ready or willing to hear. These things help us to feel what we've worked so hard not to feel. And in doing so, they move us towards healing and transformation. In a society that highly values performance and positivity and self-sufficient, we are often taught, explicitly or not, that certain emotions make us weak or make us unworthy. So we learn to shrink ourselves. Sometimes we mute our feelings because we believe that we will only be accepted, loved, or valued if we show up smaller than what God created us to be. But as the movie reminds us, when we mute our emotions, we disconnect from everything that truly matters. We lose touch with joy, with purpose, with the people God has placed in our lives to journey with us. We become strangers to ourselves and to others. And healing, my friends, begins when we let ourselves be seen, when we allow our feelings to flourish. In the movie, everything begins to change for young Riley when sadness is allowed to speak. It's only then that Riley breaks down and tells the truth. She tells her parents, "I miss home. I miss hockey. I miss my friends." And it's only when Riley is honest with herself that her parents are able to draw close to her and to embrace her. That moment, that release, becomes the turning point in the story. And it's not because everything was fixed, but because she was no longer alone. And that's the gospel. Not that everything gets instantly better, but that God meets us in truth, not in performance. The psalmist doesn't say, "You have searched me, Lord, and you found me impressive." He says, "You've searched me and you know me. You know when I sit, when I rise, when I weep in secret, when I rage in silence. You know the ache I can't name and the joy I've stopped trusting." And God is not put off by our feelings, by our sadness, by our shame, by our fear. God is not confused by our anger or tired of our longings. We were created to feel. And when we begin to name those feelings, we begin to reconnect with God. We begin to reconnect with others, and we begin to reconnect with ourselves. Maybe today you are carrying a feeling you haven't let yourself speak out loud. Maybe you're used to leading with joy, masking what's underneath. Maybe it's been a while since you felt anything at all. You are not broken. You're human. And God is not far from you. So let's take a moment and think about what are we carrying today? What feelings have we tucked away because it seemed too much or not enough? What part of your heart have you silenced? The call for us today, friends, is this: to stop hiding, to come out of the fig leaves, to let yourself feel again, to let yourself be fully known. This week, as we go about our life and our business, choose one feeling and name it in prayer. If it helps you, write it down. You speak to someone who is a close friend and you find to be a safe person. Bring it before God. Let it become a doorway, not a wall. Because when we allow ourselves to feel, we allow ourselves to hope. And hope is where healing begins. As we prepare to sing our hymn of response, I want to offer us this invitation. If you're longing to know a God who sees you fully and loves you completely, come and pray. If you're carrying feelings too heavy to name alone, come. If you're ready to follow Christ or recommit yourself to the path of grace, come. If you desire to make Hilldale your church home and journey with this beautiful and yet imperfect but grace-filled and faithful people, come. Or if today's just a day for you to pray, to feel, to be known, come. The doors of the church are always open, and it is Christ who invites us through the power of the Holy Spirit to come and to be fully known and to fully seen, and Christ meets us here. So come as you are. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.